I want to share some things with you tonight, but I want to read something kind of like a, not a side journey, but a preempt that it's almost like you have to know everything that I know, and then everything that I don't know that the Lord's told me, and then everything you know to catch what I want to share with you. No, it's simpler than that. But, you know, if you don't have this book, that's okay. But get it if you can. Two Kinds of Righteousness by E.W. Kenyon. How many of you know you've been made righteous? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Begin to act that way then. Let me back up. Rewind. How many of you know you've been made righteous? Hallelujah. Well, then begin to act that way then. Hallelujah. Now, I don't mean, you know, put your hair in a bun or, you know, just pray in a... I mean, put your head up, put your shoulders back, and know that you have a right not because of anything you've done, gonna do, plan to do, or haven't done, and plan on not doing, that He's done a good job when He made you the righteousness of God. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ. And I've heard people, when I was younger in the Lord, I did a Bible study with one other gentleman. And what kicked it off was, he says, yeah, that's spiritually speaking. No, that's a reality. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. You, according to E.W. Kenyon's book and others, and according to the Word of God, righteousness means this. Listen carefully. We've heard it 1,000 times. You need to hear it again. The ability... Say, I'm able.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To stand in the presence of the Father God without the sense of guilt or inferiority. Now, just think about that a minute. How many of you are guilty? Yeah, I'll raise my hand first. Both hands. We're all guilty. But He has made us to be in His presence without a sense of inferiority or guilt-ridden. Why is that? Why would He do something like that? And that happened in the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen. And then right behind that, and it says, and all things that are new are of God. Hallelujah. So here He made us with the ability to stand in His presence without a sense of sin or inferiority. The first time I read that, and I'm going to get to the gentleman that brought this up and said, well, spiritually speaking. And I said, well, that's not going to do you any good. Spiritually speaking, we're in heaven. Huh? But that's a reality. We've been moved from here to there. We've been seated, you know, spiritually speaking, baloney. In reality, because I have to be able to take hold of everything that God has for me here. Huh? You ever thought? And then the argument was, well, if I can stand in His presence as if without inferiority or sin, but I still sin. I said, then quit. Quit going to His presence or quit sinning. Which one do you want to do? Now, do we still miss it? Of course we're going to miss it. Why? We're in the earth. We have an adversary. We're in heaven. You're going to have an adversary? Absolutely not. Are you going to be faced with the things you're faced with down here? Absolutely not. But that's why He says it's all according to what? Faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let me ask you a question about that simple statement. Without faith, it's impossible to please God here, right? What about there? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Here or there? I said, here or there? I remember Brother Copeland once said, you know, we're going to be amazed at how many of us have to go to school when we get to heaven. And I says, I want to teach the faith class. And then I put my hand down real quick, and I thought, maybe I better be in it. You know, that was prideful, wasn't it? Thinking I'm going to teach the faith class. Hallelujah. I still got my application in, though. He's qualified me for everything else. Why wouldn't he qualify me for that? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A spirit of faith can be caught. It can only be caught, can't be taught. You got to catch it. I said you got to catch it. So here Kenyon said, God has dealt with the sin problem in his son. God has dealt with the sin problem in his son. You have to get a reality in your thinking, wash it, cleanse it, change it, modify it, but keep putting the word in there till you get to a place where most of us don't struggle so much with the stuff we're dealing with today. It's that junk beforehand that the devil, Pastor shared my entire message this morning. So I'm just kind of dovetailing in behind it. But that's okay, isn't it? Because it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Whether you hear the same thing over again, it's a different spirit behind it. Amen. Good spirit, though, by the way. So if we're going to please God and walk in the things that he has for us, we have to come to a reality that regardless of what was in my past, what keeps holding me back, you know, chained to the past, you can't go forward, can you? As Pastor shared this morning, with a glorious illustration of the gentleman bogged down with his bags and the load on his back going down the tracks when he had a ticket. How many of you are co-seated in heaven in heavenly places? Yeah, amen. You've been made the new creation. You can be, you know, I'm just so gracious and thankful for what the Lord has done. And there may be someone out there to say, well, he hasn't done much for me lately. Well, that may be true from your perspective. But you can still say, I'm not going to hell. Can't you? I'm going to heaven. We know that he's put his spirit within us as a guarantee of the inheritance we're to partake of. Now. Not later on, but now. He's put his spirit in us. You know, people say, well, there's no guarantees in life. I've got some.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I got some. I've been sealed with the guarantor. Hallelujah. For eternity's sake, I know in whom I have believed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he won't let me go. No matter what I fail to do or not do, he won't let go of me or you. For any reason, he will not release his hold on you. On you. He embraces each and every one of us. No, you have to know that like you know your face when you look in the mirror. It says, we turn away and we forget what manner of man we were, right? But understand this, God does not. What he does forget are your sins and iniquities. Wipes the slate clean. What we need to learn how to do is forgive and forget. Not just ourselves, but others. It says, if you have any little thing, my goodness, against anybody, for any reason, let it go. Now that's a little thing, right? And yet some people hang on to these, well, this person hurt my feelings, saying something about me and doing this, and they never ever did pay me back that money. And I go, well, let me pray for it. I says, how long ago was this? Well, 25, 30 years ago, maybe now. If you'd have put a dollar in the bank when that person didn't pay, you'd have 10 times that today. So whose fault is it now you haven't got paid back? See, we hang on to things that mean absolutely nothing when in the natural we could have done something about it by now. Oh boy, now I'm going to go to meddling. The Bible says in Romans 12, let's look at that together. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I haven't started my message yet. This is the introduction. Here. But I will finish at a quarter till. Because I promised Pastor Nancy I would. It says, Romans 12, I have a New King James Bible. It says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual service. In verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we know the will of God. Can I assume that this is the will of God? Well, it is, right? So let me rephrase that verse 2 for you a bit. Not changing it, I'm going to rephrase it to help you understand something that needs to be applied if you want to be transformed according to how the Word says. Because, see, I can call you up here. You've got mental problems. You have things going on in your mind. You have attack from the enemy. You have doubts. You have fears. You have whatever going on. And I can come up. You can come up here, and I can pray and lay hands on you until I wear all the hair off your head. Are you with me? But if you won't renew your mind, which I can't get to, you're not going to go away any different than the way you came up. Are you with me? Okay. We understand that now. Good. So do not be conformed to this world. I'm not so much about do not be conformed to this world. I'm not concerned about that. You know why? Because if you do the next part, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. That was what I wanted to change. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. Because it goes on to say that you may prove as good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, Word of God. Right? 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 Okay. Now remember I said that lady was hanging on to that debt for all those years? And she could have done something about the debt in the natural sense and just said, you know, I'm going to forgive him and I'm going to put a dollar away. I'm just going to count it as a dollar, put a dollar, put a tithe of that away. And 25, 30 years later, she'd have had 10 times what the debt was that she'd been owed to begin with. Who knows? Especially if she had done that. Who knows what could have come her way? But because she's held on to it, the scripture goes on to say, if you don't forgive, I can't.
There it is.
The Lord can do anything he wants to. Oh, no, 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 no. It says right there, I can't forgive you. Not I won't. Not I won't. I can't. Can you imagine? Think of that for a dipstick human being can tie the hands of God when it comes to forgiveness. And he died for the entire world. All of mankind. And as a Christian, you tie the hands of God if you do not forgive. That's a scary thought. I said, that's a scary thought. Short accounts. Somebody hurt your feelings, forgive them. Buy them a gift. Now, if I start getting a bunch of gifts, oh, Lord, forgive them. So, here we are. Here we are. She had something against the Lord. If, and most of us have, I'm just saying if. I'm not going to look at anybody specifically. I'm going to try not to look at anybody specifically. Oh, dear Lord, now I got to look at the carpet. Because if I look up, I'm going to look at your eyes. And I'm going to look at my brother. Because we have a relationship, so it's okay. We've both been in recovery. How many years you been in recovery now, brother?
It's about 26 years.
26 years, praise God. Hallelujah. Living free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, by the power of God. But if 25 years ago, if you and I had started and not stopped and stayed continually using, transforming our minds with the Word of God, you wouldn't recognize us today.
Hallelujah.
I said you wouldn't recognize us today.
Hallelujah.
I'd be prettier, I'd be bigger, tall. He'd be a little smaller, and he'd be pretty too. No, I'm teasing. You see? So why do we not apply the truth? Because we have an adversary. We have an adversary. What makes you think you're quoting the Word and saying the Word and changing your thinking concerning what the Word's? You know the whole world is going this direction. You can't be that different. You'd be like, you know, trying to row a boat upstream. Everybody else go, and you think for 1 minute that because you're going to renew your mind, things are going to change. You have that old lifestyle. That isn't, you can't turn that around. Baloney. The Word is true. Let every man be a liar, but the Word is true. Hallelujah. We get hoodwinked into thinking that just because I begin to apply the Word today, my thinking hasn't changed. But if I keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, eventually, ha! For instance, I told you May 31st, 1975, I gave my heart to the Lord. That night that I prayed, up until that point, I was drinking a quart of alcohol a day and smoking 3.5 packs of cigarettes a day. That's an expensive habit today. Back then, of course, in that time and element, it was probably expensive then too, but I can't imagine today. I can't even, I know the truth because I was there and I did it. Are you with me? But I don't even see myself that way. Some people say, well, when you're with friends and they're drinking wine and, you know, you haven't touched any alcohol and that, does that bother you? I go, no, it really doesn't. It can't touch. Oh, by the way, the name of this message is You Can't Touch This. Once you're transformed, you can't touch this. You can't touch this. Huh? Not that we're not confronted, but you can't touch this devil. No, you're too late. I'm going to heaven. You're too late. I already speak with other tongues. You're too late. I already believe in divine healing. You're too late. I'm already forgiven. You're too late. I forgive. And you're too late. I've already forgotten the past. I refuse to take up anything that would keep me from walking into what He's provided for me, and that is to be in His presence without a feeling of guilt or inferiority.
Oh,
thank You, Lord. I can embrace You any moment, anytime, everywhere. And I know that to be true because I was sitting at the end of that road just tonight, and I got... I got ready to get up, and He says, don't worry, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
Shoo. Now, that's a friend. Well, you don't have to be afraid to stand and talk in front of people. Of course not. But I'm not alone. He's with me. It makes it easy. I just say what He says. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I told you I was His favorite. God is in the restoration business. If I can do it, if the Holy Ghost and God in me can help me out of what I was in, help me forget the past, help me remove that lifestyle, and point me in the way that I should go, why wouldn't He do it for you? Am I really that special? You're supposed to say no. You can say no. It's all right. I'm special, but you can say no. I can handle it. How good is He? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Oh. Oh, my, I'm a mess. Where's Sister Polly? We used to have, some of you weren't fortunate enough to be around in the earlier years. We had these three black ladies, or might have been four at one time, with Hazel, Mabel, Pauline, and Frances Hamilton, right? And one night I was preaching and ministering and kind of getting out of control. And out of the nowhere, she says, "Pastor George, you're a mess." I never heard such endearing words in all my life. wonderful ladies brought with them such tremendous heritage of charismatic movement in the South and the love and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hang on to those that know God, that have been around the Lord. Sit in their lap. Ask them questions. Embrace them. Hold them. Bring them close to you. I've had the wonderful experience of being around a gentleman. He had now gone on to be with the Lord, Pastor Travis, missionaries to Vietnam for 50 years. Francis, Mrs. Freely, who would sit in what's his name's meetings? The one that wrote Christ for the Healer? F.F. Bosworth's meetings. I mean, those are treasures. I mean, they came to my home and had soup with me, and we did Bible studies together. Embrace those times, those moments when you can be around those that have a heritage in Christ. We're losing that. They're all going on to be with Jesus. I don't blame them. But you hang on to those things and hear the treasures of the knowledge stored up in them. Amen? Oh, boy. So here, restoration, God wants to restore us. For it is, in Philippians 2, verse 13 says this, "For it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." To restore means to bring back to a former or an original condition. But in the Word, it's much better than that. It's going to make you better. It's going to multiply. It's going to increase. It's going to make you, oh, so much better than you thought you ever could be or dreamed of being. Amen? He wants to return us to a personal relationship, an intimacy, a companionship with Him, God, that He intended from the beginning. What He had with Adam and Eve in the start. As if sin never, ever existed before. Oh, and to walk in that. To stand in that. To understand. See, when you can't, there is, in the new creation, right? He got you out of here into heaven. Right? By a simple prayer of accepting Jesus Christ as that sacrifice. The atonement for your sin. He washed you white as snow. Made you perfect. But then He did some other little things. You know? He placed His Spirit within you. Put it inside you. To seal you. To let you know you've got a guarantee. This is the guarantee. Whether you speak with other tongues or not, you know He's in there. I says, whether you speak with other tongues or not, He's in there. That's a fringe benefit of Him being in there. Take advantage of it. I want to take advantage of everything heaven has to offer. If it's offering anything, I want it. Huh? In fact, I want more. If you've got more than me, then I'm going back in and get more. Are you with me? I'm not passing. I know Pastor Mark when he was talking about him preparing a banquet table in the midst of our enemies. I know what he's doing. He's eating everything at that table. I'm right there behind him or alongside him. And if he grabs two pieces of chicken, I'm grabbing two pieces of chicken. Maybe three, right? If he slides that big platter of righteousness over to his side and slips off a bunch of that on his plate, I'm taking a bunch off of it. Huh? Yeah. You come there to dine. Come there to eat. And don't leave till you're full. Hallelujah. And you know what's good about eating at that table? I heard it the other night. Someone said something. Where did I hear that from? Must have been on the radio. Or I heard some people, I overheard, I listen to conversations sometimes I shouldn't. But this one was good. And someone, and this guy asked his girlfriend, he says, are you hungry? You want to go somewhere? She says, no, I'm not hungry, but I'll eat. And I thought, yeah, that's a great answer. I like that. I won't let you down. If you're hungry, I'm not hungry, but I'll eat. I probably don't need to. But you understand. I mean, at the table, at God's banqueting table, he's beckoning us to come. And we've got a lot of Christians sitting back there. Ah, I just ate. 3 Sundays ago, I ate. I ate a little bit yesterday. Had a snack. Come in. Eat. Eat till you're full. When you're full, eat it. Get back in line. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the price. Freely. Freely. Receive. Freely. Come. Take it all. He's restoring mankind to himself. Hebrews 9, 12 and verse 15 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And for this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God, through Christ, has dealt with the sin problem. But see, the devil will come along and bring up your past. Huh? Pastor said this morning, he says he's a historian. Isn't it amazing he knows all that junk about you? Huh? Are you that interested in me? Down there? Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. He wants to keep you from everything. He wants to keep you, not from some of it, he wants to keep you from everything that God has for you. Everything. And all he needs is one. Well, you don't need that praying in other tongues thing. You're okay. You got the Spirit, right? It's the same lie he used on Eve. Well, you know that you can, you know, you can eat some of it. Don't have to eat the whole tree. No, no, no. If he can take one piece, he can get it all. Get you to compromise. You don't, look, I mean, how many people have you talked to about the faith people, these faith folks? Oh, really? How else are you going to get in? Oh, you're of that faith bunch. I said, yeah, yeah, I am. Sold out. Really? Yeah. I says, well, I don't, how do you please God? I know at least, all you got to know is one scripture. And they're toast. Are you with me? For without faith, it is what? Impossible to what? Please God. There's one. Huh? I mean, and there's a myriad of others. But you only need one. Because, you know, once you bring that one up, they go, well, I'll get back to you. They don't come back. They flee as in terror. You know. Well, then I won't have any friends. Those aren't friends. I said, those are not friends. Your friends are here. Those that will agree with you in prayer. Those that will stand with you in times of trouble. Those that will take a hold of the word and not move. Have a stern spine about themselves. Those that know they can walk into the presence of the Lord and take you with them. And say, Lord, here they are. Touch them. Heal them. Prosper them. Oh, okay. Let's move on. Now we know about the Spirit. If you came tonight and catch this one statement, it'll be worth your trip for at least the rest of the week. Well, till tomorrow afternoon. Here we go. The work of the Holy Spirit, remember, He's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's where? In you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God's, right? Listen, the work of the Holy Spirit is to take the treasures of His wealth and bring them to surface in your life. That's His job. I'm going to say it again. To take the treasures of His wealth, His, God's, and bring them to surface in your life. That's what the Holy Ghost is in there for. You can't see Him. Sometimes we feel Him. We know He's in there. His presence is always with us. He leads us and guides us into all truth. He reveals His word to us so that we can dine on it, feed on it, live on it. And then He's in there to help you transform. Are you with me? As we renew our minds, how do I know? I love this. Thank you for asking. How do I know when my mind has been transformed by the Word of God in a certain area? Easy. It'll stop siding in with your flesh and start siding in with your spirit. Have you ever had a conflict going on in you? I have. Had one today. Had one yesterday. Had one the day before. Had one the day before that. There's always conflict. Why? We have an enemy. Huh? You have an enemy. He's out to get you. When you have conflict, it's saying, don't eat one piece of pie. You could have two. Well, of course I could. But I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to have three. No, I didn't. I don't need pie at all. Although now I'm wavering. Maybe I use something else besides pie. Oh, I got a good one. So they're getting ready to receive the offering. So you reach, and I don't have a wallet in my pocket. I freaked out. Man, talk about faith and trust in God. And then I realized I put it in my wife's purse. Okay, so you reach for your wallet, and you look in there, and we're going to receive the offering, right? And your mind is saying, oh, give them those two or three ones or that five. And you hit the 20 and a 50. Not the 50. Don't do it. I heard one gentleman share this before. I don't know if it was Jerry Seville or Kenneth Copeland or something. He says, once that argument starts, I grab it all and put it all in there. And it shuts up. Then the next time I open it and I start going through it, I don't hear anything. Why? He don't want you putting all of it in there anymore. Hallelujah. You grab the big ones a few times and it shuts that off. Shuts it right off. Hallelujah. And it sets you up for a blessing anyway, regardless, right? God's not concerned. It depends on how much you put on the offering if God is pleased with you. No. Well, God loves a happy giver. Of course I'm a happy, cheerful giver. But not out of compulsion. If somebody's trying to sell me something and I don't want to buy, what do? I leave my wallet in my pocket. I don't want to buy it. That's okay, right? But I'm still happy. I'm still happy. It's when I do it and now I'm not happy. You been there? Am I the only one that's done that before? Yeah. But if I know, if I really know, like I know that the Spirit of God dwells in me, if I really know that I can stand in God's presence, if I really know that what I do with my finances is a direct result of what my future will hold, I'm getting in on it every time. I said, I'm getting in on it every time. Well, you can't, how can you afford to do it? I can't afford not to. I said, I can't. I'm not telling you what to do. I am telling you to renew your mind with the Word of God concerning every area of your life. And that includes money. Are you with me? As long as we're there, can I go a little further on this one? I think I will. Thank you. If you worry, you know, oh, the Lord's going to bless. Eventually, if I ever get out of this mess, this financial mess, and I have, and if I have more money, then I would be okay if I had more money. Let me tell you something. I've been around money all my life. My uncle died as a multimillionaire, okay, and his kids are wealthy. The whole side of that family's loaded, okay. And he told me this once. He said, if you worry about $10, $500 will kill you.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
If you're going to worry, see, you think if you had more money, you wouldn't worry as much? No, that only escalates it. Now you have more to be worried about. People that are rich don't care about money.
That's right.
It's a tool. People that are financially what you want to call somewhat what you would call secure, you've heard about them. They've gone, I'm going to use, pardon me, Lord, in the church of God, Donald Trump. He's been up the gazillion-dollar ladder and down again, in the tank. Up the gazillion-dollar ladder and in the tank again. It happens to him regularly, weekly. Is he worried about it? You ever see that man worry? No, I see him strutting around, riding in jets, having a high-o time, people kissing his shoes like idiots. Why? He's not afraid. He doesn't let money to him is only a tool, like a hammer is to a carpenter, like a solder gun is to a plumber, right? It's no different, like a scalpel is to a doctor. They're tools. It's a tool. Listen, if you begin to get in position to give when God asks you to, and here's a good one. If, oh, I'd love to be able to meet the full need and pay off the church. Oh, so would I, but I don't have that kind of money. And if I had that kind of money, now I have to make a choice. Do I want to have that kind of money or do I want to put it all in the church? See, I'm not ready, am I? I'm just telling you a story here. Don't get nervous. Well, Pastor George, you want to... Relax. I'm telling you a story. If, perchance, God was to drop on you a nice chunk of change, if you're not willing to give out of... Do you remember the woman that put just her little mite in there? Her reward was great. You're the guy that's counting out his nickels. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. God is not mocked. Don't be fearful. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I was raised on a farm. I already know what the multiplication process looks like when you say sow seed. Because as a little child, I would ride on the back of my grandpa's tractor. And there were I've told this story a million times. I'll tell it again. Some of you are new. You don't even know that I was raised on a farm. And they had these big, round metal canisters. Of course, I was tiny then. They were big and round. Probably they were no bigger than this. They looked so big when I was back. And I'm trying to look down them like that. But, of course, now I would stand over them. But you understand where I'm coming from. These canisters. And he was planting corn. And they were all full of grain corn. Planting corn. And he told me, and there's a ramp across the back. Why he trusted me back there, I have no clue. When you think about it today, I could have fell off and ended up as a corn stalk, and no one, and then they would have thought I was a scarecrow out in the field. No. So I'm walking, and he says, you just walk back and forth, and when you see one of those barrels get low, you holler at me and wave, and I'll stop, and we'll take a sack, and we'll fill it back up, and we'll keep planting. So these things would plant five rows of corn at a time, right? He'd go to one end of the field, get to the end, turn around, come back down the other way, plant another big row, turn around, go back. And we did that all morning, right? Planet's going. And I'm watching this, and he says, and he, in his Portuguese drawl, and sometimes just in Portuguese, he would speak to me. He says, "Do you know how many are going in the ground each time?" And I said, "One." He goes, "No, two or three." I go, he says, "That's okay, because not all of it germinates and comes up, but we plant it that way." He says, "When you come back, the next time you come back," and that would have been around Thanksgiving time, he says, "this field will be taller than you with corn. When we harvest it, each stalk will have 6 to 7 ears of corn. On each ear are anywhere from 8 to 1,000 kernels on each cob." Are you with me? 6 to 8 cobs on each stalk. He's got 40 acres. 40 acres. 2 or 3 kernels in one stalk. Anybody good at math? 6 to 8 ears with, just keep numbers simple for you, 1,000 kernels in each ear. So 8,000 against 3. Sounds like 100-fold to me there. Doesn't that sound good to you? That's a natural harvest. I said, that's a natural harvest. It says, the father, the farmer, he goes out and sows seed in the ground, right? And he sleeps night and day, and he knows not how. But it comes up, and he has a harvest. As Christians, we're instructed to give and tithe. Well, how does that work? Come on. It doesn't matter. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. How do you sow? By faith. I said, by faith. You put something behind it, and by faith, Father, I thank you that you have prospered me. That I even, it says, he gives you wealth to get wealth. He's in it from the start to the, he's doing it all. And all I am is I'm the roadblock. I'm the filter that keeps it from happening to the abundance that he really wants it to happen, aren't I? You are. I'm using me, but I'm going to start pointing at fingers. We are the ones that tie the hands of God and working not only on our behalf, on behalf of everybody. Realize, you have eternity at your disposal. You have heaven at your disposal. You have the Spirit of God living in you that can touch lives. Glory to God. Amen. According to your word, Father. That's be healed, top of her head, soles of her feet.
Amen.
That's my part. I said, that's my part. I believe that, right? Now, whose part is it? God's. Well, did I pray long enough and hard enough? That's not my job. Is it? He says, you shall lay hands on the sick, pray for 4 days, read 4,700 pages of scripture, get the 415, the 510, and the 925 area code all together, get them praying, get a group of other people, get 7 or 8 denominations together, have them pray, and then maybe someday God will reach out of heaven and touch their lives. No, it doesn't say that, does it?
No.
His restoration process has done a good job, and it's done a good job in you. Hallelujah. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to take the treasures of his wealth and bring them to surface in your life. Hallelujah. I'm going to let him. Are you? Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Here we go. I know I can't leave this part out, and I'm done a minute ago. We're made of, and we're going to close with this. We're made of three parts. We're a three-part being. Triune being. We are spirit, we have a soul, we live in a physical body, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm going to read it. Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can he do that?
Yes,
he can. He already has. You're ready. I said, say, I'm ready
for his coming.
I'm preserved blameless in his sight daily, 24/7. Hallelujah. 365, 24/7. I can get in his presence. He honors me. I honor him. Hallelujah. Do you realize he wants you there more than he wants to be with you, because he already is? It's an open invitation. Come. Sit with me. Listen. I'm going to make you something you didn't realize you could be. That was prophetic. I'm going to make you something you didn't know you could be. As the walls of our soul are strengthened, you become less and less vulnerable to the attacks of your enemy, the devil. I don't know about you, but I want him underfoot. Amen, don't you?